This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to a very special episode of the Callum McSwiggan Show. That was a little bit of new Kim Petras there, absolutely obsessed. Sat opposite me in the studio today is the very lovely Lucy Peach. How are you doing?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me, Callum.
I've become a little bit obsessed with you in the past couple of days. I've been doing my research on everything that you've been doing.
Well
and
done.
Your TED Talk.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Loved it.
Oh, thank you. Which one did you watch? The one with swearing or the one without swearing?
Wait, is there more than one?
There's one that's about 18 minutes long that features quite a few F-bombs and then there's a shorter, more succinct version.
Well, I just saw the short one and I feel like I've massively missed out.
Well, that's debatable. But
see,
yeah.
I said I did my research and I clearly didn't do enough research, did I?
No, I think you've done well.
Well, we're going to be covering so much on the show today. We're going to be talking about sex and periods with your lovely self. And you're also going to be performing for us a little bit later as well. What are you going to be performing for us?
Well, given that I am currently on day 20 of my cycle, which is the height of summer, yeah. I'm going to play the most loveliest love song that I have, and it's called Be So Good.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait for that, and I can't wait to talk about the cycle as well, because I've learned a lot from the TED Talk, and I can't wait to
You're a disciple now, Callum.
Yeah, a disciple?
Now you have to go out and preach.
And preach.
Preach period power as well.
I mean, that's why we're here today.
I know, right?
We've also got a few treats lined up. We're going to be playing a little bit of Porn or Not Porn later on. We're hosting a fabulous competition and obviously answering all of our lovely listeners' sex confessions as well. But before we dive into all of that, we're going to talk a little bit about Digital Pride, which is the world's first global LGBT plus pride event. It's a pride that people can celebrate even if they're in a country where LGBT plus people are criminalized or in danger. And this year's theme is all about tackling loneliness. So I wanted to start off on a conversation. Now, I know that I feel you're an ally of the LGBT plus community. And I feel like it's really important that I feel like the LGBT plus community can be really isolated within itself sometimes. Mm. And I think it's really important to kind of reach out to different people and make those connections. And I mean, I think I even spotted a rainbow flag on your guitar case. Is that true?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your connection to the community.
Well, I guess, you know, it's one of those things that the more you invest, the more it grows. And you know, in my work in talking about the menstrual cycle, obviously I need to be really careful that I don't just speak for 38-year-old white privileged women who live in Australia, because, you know, being inclusive is not just sort of something that you need to do to tick a box and, you know, pass the test. It's like, do you really want everyone on board? Do you really want everyone to feel welcome? Do you really want everyone to feel connected? And I think, you know, it's just better for everybody, you know. And so one instance that's sort of been quite top of mind for me is that, you know, someone said to me at the very beginning of my run of these shows, you know, well, you're not talking about trans people, you're not talking about men who might have periods or women who don't have periods. And at first I was really overwhelmed. I was like, oh fuck, you know, I've only got 1 hour and I'm trying to change the conversation around periods and I've got to speak with these people and these people. But it was just a matter of talking to people and saying, what are you comfortable with and what would make you feel more included and how can I broaden the conversation? And you know, and just, I think, Just trying, you know, and talking. It's really that simple. And
I think that's a really wonderful point you made about like the whole like conversation around periods and just, you know, people with vaginas in general or people with uteruses. Mm-hmm. And that's actually where I was going to take this conversation, because I think it is something that's a small thing to do that makes people feel a lot more included, you know, to not say women when you're talking about periods, etc. Yep. But at the same time, like you said, it is actually difficult, you know, when we're brought up in a certain way with a certain set of ideas and a certain set of language, it can be quite difficult to break that. And I think it's a really kind of important distinction to make.
It's when it's layered, because you've got a few different taboos fighting each other at the same time.
Yes.
And the terrible thing is when, you know, it's like that phrase that, you know, the left eat their own, which is a bit of an aside, but it kind of speaks to that idea that, you know, if I see you and you're not doing it all perfectly, then I kind of jump on you and crunch you up. And it's like, if you just assume people are doing the best that they can and then gently say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And generally, most people are really happy to have that invitation and to sort of go with it. And I mean, I don't always say people with periods, because I went through a phase of doing that, and then I had this whole lot of women saying, you know, you're taking away our femininity and we're women. And I was like,
you've got to get the balance right.
I can't win. Yeah. But then I just, you know, I would just play with the balance. And that's something that's taken me, you know, probably 2 years, and to feel comfortable talking about without feeling like I'm, you know, getting it wrong, which is such a, you know, it's something you really need to kind of get over. And I think just kindness and compassion goes so far. And there's so many things, you know. I was thinking just the other day about how I have a friend who's a trans woman, and she's just made the transition, and she lives in Brighton, And I was thinking, oh, I should get her to come to my show. And then I thought, how insensitive. Mm. This woman who has just begun her journey of womanhood.
Sure.
Who's not going to have a period, is probably not going to feel comfortable in my theatre with this hour-long exploration into what it means to have a cycle and how that fits in the world. But then I thought, hang on a minute, you know, in including her in the conversation and just inviting her, there's going to be so much crossover. We're talking about feelings here. I'm not even getting to biology. So she can relate to that. She can take what she wants
and
from it.
Things like changes in hormones and things,
that's
which
right.
is something you talk about in the
cycle.
Yeah,
being
that
sensitive to hormones. I mean, that's a whole other roller coaster. And just quickly, one other thing on that was this idea that I had where so commonly when you talk about, you know, following your cycle, basically what you're doing is just tuning into which day of your cycle you are, looking at yourself through that lens and then thinking about how to, you know, kick ass or self-care or whatever it is. And for women who have gone through menopause and don't have a cycle anymore, what they like to do, some of them, is go by the moon as a way of staying connected to a cycle. And I thought, that's so brilliant. And I'm sure millions of other people have had this idea and I'm not the originator, but I thought for a trans woman to then be able to connect to the lunar cycle, that is just a visual, tactile, not tactile, you can't touch the moon, but do you know, like it's something, it's sort of almost tangible
yeah.
that you can say, oh, I see the waxing and the waning and you know, the way that my moods change and the way that I feel. And
that's really beautiful and poetic. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right. It's about intention. Mm. And you were clearly, you know, making all the intentions and, you know, making it as inclusive as you possibly can. I mean, I do a lot of like sex education around sex toys, and that's somewhere where it's, you know, it's so easy to say this sex toy is for a man and this sex toy is for a woman. And and I do sometimes, you know, I do often use traditional language, but I think also sometimes it's important to acknowledge other people as well. Let's talk a little bit, we've kind of touched upon it a little bit, but let's talk about more about your work specifically, because you have your show coming up at the Edinburgh Fringe, which is my greatest period ever.
Yeah,
that sounds incredible. And is this talking about the cycles?
Yes.
So let's get more into that, because you talked about it as seasons, like you go through spring and winter and summer.
Yeah. So I have literally just driven down from Stroud, where I'm part of a menstrual cycle awareness training course through a company called Red School, and they are the ones who really like to call the four phases of the cycle the seasons. And there's lots of different words for them. I mean, can I swear?
You can swear you like.
Just getting that out of the way, because I'll tell you what you missed on the SWEARY TED Talk.
I'm so upset that here I missed the SWEARY one. Okay.
So essentially, you know, the show is based on the premise that we have a menstrual cycle, and that doesn't mean that you just have a period and you don't have a period. And, you know, the way that we talk about it in school is sort of, you know, here's a tampon, good luck, have a nice life, and just, you know, don't make a mess, don't let anyone see, and
be ashamed.
Be ashamed,
yeah,
you know.
It's awful.
Catch you later. And it makes it, it puts it in this framework of being this binary thing that's just an on and off switch. And when you look, you know, and I'm holding up a graph to the microphone, which you can't see, but when you look at a graph of what the hormones are doing, and I know there's people out there who are like, their eyes are already rolling back in their head. They're like, oh, graph, hormones, shut up. But it's your internal world. And, you know, it's like, you know how you feel when you get a rush of adrenaline. You have an emotional response. You have a physical response. It's the same with hormones for men and for women.
And it's science. It's not
that's
voodoo.
That's right. That's it. It's you know, I mean, you can go all voodoo if you want. I mean, you be my guest. But on a really fundamental level, there is a scientific phenomena happening inside of you that we've been really conditioned and socialised to just completely ignore and override and block. And so, you know, basically what is happening throughout the cycle, I'll just give you a quick synopsis of these four phases, and I'll use the words that I like to use for them. And so your cycle starts on day one, which is when you start bleeding. Mm. That's when you have your period. And, you know, you're letting go of the possibility of life, basically. And it's the time where, you know, you've got to really rest and take care of yourself and fill your cup for the month ahead. If you just push through that, you're never going to feel like you've caught up, and you're going to feel tired and pushed and harangued, and because you haven't sure. honoured what your body is doing.
Yeah.
So I really see that as a time to just really be a bit dreamy, the time to dream and to take care of yourself and to really tune in. Because the other thing is, when you kind of your hormones right now, by the way, are flatlined. There's just not a lot going on. So you're more tired, you're more slow. And with all of that kind of falling away, you're more able to tune into what is really deeply important to you. So, for instance, if something really gives you the shits when you're premenstrual, which is when you're most likely to get the shits, if you...
It's a whole new world to me. See, I did not know that.
And I mean, you live with women. You know women. You
exactly.
know people with a cycle. So this is really, really
know,
useful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's no wonder that you don't, because of the way we've treated, you know, I mean, women's bodies in general for thousands of years have just been demonised and shit canned. But, you know, this whole idea that when you have your period, it's for rest and for tuning in, and that is, you know, when you get a real download of wisdom is throughout lots of cultures, you know, lots and lots of tribal cultures have seen this as a really sacred time. And so that's your time to dream. And then what happens is, as your period starts to finish, inside you've got eggs that are getting ready to be released again. So there's lots going on. And as they ripen, your estrogen starts to rise, and now you're in the second phase, which is the time to do, because you're about to lay an egg, basically.
Sure.
So you imagine a bird who's getting really kind of broody and nesty and, you know, is just like madly scrabbling for twigs to get the perfect nest and doesn't want to have a chat, or is just like, it's like, it's a very, it's probably the most masculine, inverted commas, part of the cycle, because you just really, you want to get things done, and it's a bit impatient, and you kind of, you know, you've just come out of, you know, the cave of winter and having your period, and you're just like, I've got all these things to do and I need to do them now. My husband calls it the bull deer moment, because I'm like a cross between a bull in a china shop and a deer in the headlights. I'm just... Go, go, go.
I like that.
And then what happens is, once estrogen peaks, you're in the middle of the cycle. So you're about day 14.
And this is your giving stage, right?
Well done,
yeah, see,
Callum.
I paid attention.
And so then you ovulate, right? And you're still riding high on the ass-kicking capabilities of the doing phase, but it's got a bit of softness, and you're more interested in collaborating and connecting and, you know, finding out what I can do for you and you can do for me, and how we can, you know, solve all the world's problems and have world peace and start charities and, you know, plant gardens. And it's like that's when I get on the internet and reach out to people and, you know, set up little collaborations, because I'm just like seeing all the possibilities of connection. And then, of course, you know, you have progesterone as well, which is sort of like nature's feel-good hormone. Estrogen is kind of like speed. It can make you a bit speedy. It can make you a bit anxious, you know, because it's like, go, 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 go. But progesterone is like, oh.
Sure.
And it makes you sleep better, and it makes you more relaxed. And obviously I'm saying all of this, and it's not a one-size-fits-all template, you know. This is, you know, it's something that's very different to everybody. It's like the way that you respond to caffeine is going to be different to the way that I do. So people are the same with their hormones. But essentially what happens in the giving phase, once you've ovulated, is you have this abundance and you just want to say yes to everything. And the problem is when you say yes to too many things and you think that you have to be that all the time. And so then what happens is you get to your premenstrual take time. And if you expect of yourself the need to be all things to all people and to just keep doing and giving and just being Mother Teresa, you'll feel pissed off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll feel like everybody's taking everything from you because you don't have anything left. And what's going on inside is all of those hormones, the progesterone and the estrogen, is plummeting down, and you're getting ready to do it all over again. So that's why when someone says, you know, where's my shoe, or can you pass the salt, it can just feel like the straw that's going to break the camel's back. It's like, I don't want to give you anything. So it's like, you know, when you pay attention, and you really just need to kind of, for 3 months, notice where you are and how that makes you feel and what sort of things that you need, because everyone will have different wig out days and different smooth, easy days. And once you come to see a pattern, you can start using it because it's predictable. Yeah. And we so often, you know, say that women are, you know, crazy and hormonal and unpredictable and unreliable and this sort of roller coaster of random emotions. And it's bullshit. It's actually, you know, a strength to have these different phases. And it doesn't mean you can't do whatever you want whenever you want. It just means that if you pay attention to how you actually feel, it's just another way of being mindful. Pay attention to how you feel, then you can use that. And you can also, what I do is I schedule things when I can. I mean, I work for myself, so I can say, well, when is going to be the best week for me to go and, you know, collaborate on a songwriting project, or when's the best time to go and do some traveling or whatever. So any questions?
I love the idea of it being a strength. And and that was the instant thing that I took when I was listening to you then, is that it is a strength. I think we so often talk about it as a negative thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also, like, how many women do you think are actually, or, you know, or people, do you think are aware of where they are in their cycle and how their cycle works?
Well, in my experience, people are commonly, I mean, you know when you've got your period, obviously, and you know when it's coming sometimes because you can feel a bit more crotchety, but there's that whole midsection that people kind of just think, oh, well, this is when I'm normal, this is when I'm good. And the crazy thing is, you know, if you think, well, okay, so we don't really feel great about having our periods. We don't really feel like we're killing it, like we're nailing it, like we're valuable, like we're productive. So we sort of feel a bit useless when we have our periods. All right, that's a week-ish. When we're premenstrual, we're crazy psycho cows. That's about a week. So that's half of your reproductively viable life, that you are thinking there's something not quite right with me. There's something that's not good enough. I am not enough. And I just think, far out, we are in 2019, I was going to say 2018, and it's, you know, it's like, if we're going to have girls to the front ruling the world and people with periods really owning that power, then they need to pay attention, because otherwise it's like, how are you going to find out all of the really good bits of who you are if you're just ignoring this whole phenomena that impacts your life?
Do you think men have played a negative role in this whole idea that, you know, it's a bad thing and it's something to be ashamed of and you're weak and you're being emotional and all those ideas around it? It's okay, you can blame us. It's fine.
Well, I just don't think it helps, to be honest.
Sure, okay.
Because I feel like, you know, it's really important when you're trying to change something, and you would come across this all the time. When you're trying to change something, you've got to like, look back at how the fuck you got here and what went wrong to get an understanding, because you don't want to go back there again.
Yeah.
You got to sit in where you are to really take stock, and then you've just got to move forward and figure out how to get there. And in my experience, you know, it's funny, like, I remember when I first started doing this show, and I was speaking to a male friend of mine who's a musician, really good friend of mine, great guy, great musician. And he said to me, oh, geez, Lucy, we were just having a beer at the pub. And he said, you talk about your period a lot, you know? You're always, you know, banging on about it on Instagram. And I was like, yeah, but Davey, it's happening to me all the time. I'm a creative person. It impacts my life and it's actually awesome. And, you know, what would you rather I talked about my shit?
yeah.
And he thought about it and he said, yeah, I probably would take shit over periods. And I just thought, well, that says more about you than me, you know what I mean? And, like, fuck, we all came out of a lady.
Yeah.
There's no escaping that. It's something that's so integral to just life, you know? Yeah. And I think really, I guess blood is, you know, it's traditionally associated with danger or pain or something is wrong. And it's, you know, it just is a testament to how disconnected we all are to nature.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah.
And you know, you can extrapolate that as far as you want, but on just a simple level, it's like, everyone's tired. Everyone's working too hard. People don't listen to what they need and they just go and pump themselves full of coffee and Panadol and push, you know what I mean? And that affects men as well. I think, you know, men are suffering from being out of balance as well. And really, in an ideal world, people with periods and cycles can tap into it and use it to be more productive, use it for more self-love. And the people around them without cycles, that will give them license as well to tune into their own needs.
I think that's a really good point. And I think... you know, the idea of the period cycle, but I think also, like, people's hormones fluctuate all the time, and that's something that's relevant to everyone. So, you know, whether you have a period or not, I think there's something that people can learn from this.
That's right.
Our hormones do fluctuate, and that does affect our mood and how we're feeling. So even just, you know, tapping into that, I think is really important.
Yes.
And, you know, going back to the theme of digital pride and, you know, being inclusive of everyone, I think that's a really important thing to do. Digital Pride is running from Monday the 29th of April up until Sunday the 5th of May. But we've also got some more exciting dates. So your show, when can people come and see that?
I was just thinking quickly back to the Digital Pride.
Yes.
And it made complete sense that there are people living in countries where they're not free to go out and express themselves in the streets for fear of persecution and oppression. But I thought, is it also, you know, for people that can't get out of the house or they can't...
Absolutely. You know, it's for everyone. You know, we look at prides and local prides around the world, and it's, you know, it's for local people to go and get involved, which is amazing and great. But, you know, so many people all over, for whatever reason, whether they're in the closet, whether they're living with a disability, whether they're living in a country where it's illegal, you know, there's so many people who can't access it.
How long has Digital Pride been a thing?
I think it's 3 or 4 years now.
Okay.
And I've tried to get involved every year, and so many people online coming together to
just
share their stories.
It makes so much sense, because that is where we live online. That's where we are, and to just fill that up with rainbows and love, and you know, you must have heard of Hannah Gadsby.
I love Hannah Gadsby.
Oh
yeah,
me
and my lovely producer went along to her show,
Nanette.
And Nanette, absolutely fantastic.
And I love how she says in the show, she says, you know, like, pride isn't for introverted gays, and I don't even like the flag. The colours are just, they're all a bit shouty, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, where do the introverted gays go? And I just thought, oh, shame, that's so true,
it's
you know.
It's very, very relatable, very relatable.
Yeah.
I love that you just gave up the opportunity there to talk about your own show, to talk more about the LGBT plus community. I mean, what a hero.
Nanette, I mean, Hannah Gadsby, what a hero.
Yeah.
It floored me. That was just one of the most powerful bits of theatre I've ever seen. So moving.
Amazing. Well, if people want to go along to your show, My Greatest Period Ever, that is the 8th to the 11th of May, the 15th and 16th of May, and the 17th and 18th of May. So
that's right.
People should go along and see. I mean, I even want to come and see
it. I really think you should come.
Shall we have a little bit of music?
Yes.
Okay, this is a little bit of me, Brendan Urie and Taylor Swift. I promise that you'll never find another like me. I know that I'm a handful, baby, I know I never think before I jump. And you're the kind of guy the ladies want. And there's a lot of cool kids out there. I know that I went psycho on the phone. I never leave well enough alone. And trouble's gonna follow where I go. And there's a lot of cool kids out there. But one of these things is not like the others. Like a rainbow with all of the colors. Baby doll when it comes to a lover. I promise that you'll never find another like me. I know you never get just what you see, but I will never fall you, baby. And when we had that fight out in the rain, you ran after me and called my name. I never wanna see you walk away. Cause one of these things is not like the others. Living in winter, I am your summer. Baby doll, when it comes to a lover, I promise that you'll never find another like me.
never find another like me.
Foo Bar Radio presents
Ian Boltsworth.
That you'd had a sex dream about me.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Tell me about it.
It started off perfectly as usual. I was having sex with Eminem. We just switched up, so he was now on top. And then I don't know, I like closed my eyes for a second and I woke up and it's you.
Surprise!
Yeah, you were there. This was definitely a dream because you were on top and you don't go on top.
Well, it's just easier for all involved.
You were you, but as Bob from Twin Peaks.
I suppose I do look a bit like Bob from Twin Peaks.
Right, a little bit, but you were also making that face that he makes. Yeah, so you didn't say anything.
Can't
you
help
doing
it. I'm
that
on top. That's it. I've told you before, my
it
elbows.
It was terrifying.
Every Monday,
Ian Boltsworth.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
So, Lucy, you are going to do a little performance for us now.
Sure am.
I'm very excited. What are you going to perform for us?
I'm going to play a song called Be So Good.
Amazing. Beautiful. Take it away.
Thank you. I'm going to sing you a song. Little bit sweet, but not too long. Song of hope and joy in equal measure. I'm gonna give you something that you can treasure. And if you want me to, I'll be so good to you. If you want me to, baby, because I'm gonna be so good. I'm gonna be so good to you. I'm gonna be so good. If you want me to, when the world gets in, I'll hold you. I'm gonna love you like I told you. Every night I'm gonna be so good to you. You can plant the trees and I'll cut the flowers. We can lie together in long grass and watch the clouds for hours. And if time won't tell what you want it to, you should know I tell you true, baby, because I'm gonna be so good. I'm gonna be so good to you. I'm gonna be so good. If you want me to, when the world gets in, I'll hold you. I'm gonna love you like I told you. Every night I'm gonna be so good to you. And if I ever lose my way and I falter, would you be so good to me? So good to me. Please, so good to me. I'm gonna be so good. I'm gonna be so good to you. I'm gonna be so good. If you want me to, when the world gets in, I'll hold you. I'm gonna love you like I told you. Every night I'm gonna be so good to you.
gonna be so good to you. Will you be so good to me?
That was absolutely stunning. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Is that going to be part of the show? Are you going to be doing music performances?
It is. That is the song that I play in the giving phase, otherwise known as the fuck yes phase.
Nice. I see how that fits in.
Yeah. It's like, I love you. I love you. I love everybody. And this is not the time to, you know, make big ticket commitments. Like I say to people, don't look at like greyhound adoption pages, you know, or
that's
kitten,
too much, right?
Kitten,
not
rehoming.
A big commitment.
Just don't do it, because you're just ovulating for everything, and you just, you know, you're susceptible. Yeah.
Would you say you've ever made a big commitment that you shouldn't when you've been in the giving stage?
Oh, look, I probably just yes, I have. Yeah. I have. Not that I regret, but oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So definitely take the time to think it through before you're going to...
If it's a big thing, like if it's a really big thing, like what do I want to study at uni? Do I want to break up with this girl?
Yeah.
Or stuff like that, you've got to run it through a whole cycle.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I like that a lot.
Because what happens is you get the insight when you're pre-menstrual and you're like, oh, my God, everything sucks.
Yeah.
My whole life, I just want to chuck it out and start again. And then you kind of know that's a little bit irrational, that it's all shit, you know. And then you get your period and you're like, oh, well, I suppose it's not that bad. I was overreacting. And then you don't address anything because you put it all in the bin. But there's some truth, you know. And if something, like I said before, if something is really pissing you off when you're premenstrual, and it still pisses you off when you've got your period, that's the truth serum. That's when your body's like, babes, come on, deal with it.
I feel like I'm learning so much. I feel like our lovely listeners are like scribbling all this down. I feel like everyone's taking notes.
Good. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the giving stage, nice little segue there. We actually have a little competition for our listeners today. We are going to be giving away 5 pairs of tickets to see Christine and the Queens at All Points East Festival on Sunday the 26th. Of May. The festival is held in Victoria Park in East London. It's a day ticket, and Christine and the Queens are headlining, but there's obviously going to be a load of other amazing acts as well. So if you want to enter that, just pop over to Fubar Radio's Twitter right now and retweet the image we have just put out. So good luck, and I hope you all get a nice pair of tickets to see that.
Lucky.
And obviously go and get tickets for the lovely...
Obviously. Go to Brighton Fringe and search my greatest period ever.
Yes, get tickets for that. Should we have a little bit more music? Let's do a little bit of Here Comes the Sun by Dodie and Jacob Collier.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
Turning to the faces, little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say, it's alright. Thank you.
little darling, I feel the ice is slowly melting.
Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say, well, it's alright.
It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright.
Sun, 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 here we go.
Don't you know we're going out in the
sun, 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 here we go.
Oh, we're going out in the
sun, 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 here we go.
Oh, we're going to find
in the sun, sun, sun.
Little bit of Dodie and Jacob Collier there, absolute legends. I think it's time for a game. Are you down for a game?
I'm totally down and up for a game.
We're going to play a little bit of Porn or Not Porn. So in this game, I have five sound bites in front of me. Some of these have been taken from porn.
Right.
And some of them have been taken not from porn.
Okay.
And since everyone has been talking about Game of Thrones the past few days, we thought we'd do a Game of Thrones theme. But I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Neither.
So we're going to be terrible at this,
well,
I think.
I don't know. I think we could be so intuitive that actually...
Maybe. I think we've got this. Yeah.
I think
we've got this.
That would be an interesting exercise.
So we are going to be a team. I do not have the answers in front of me.
Okay.
So we're going to work this.
Callum.
Yeah, I think we can. Are you ready for the first one?
Mm.
Okay, here we go. Well, I'm hearing like horses and swords and things in the background there.
Well,
yeah, there's a lot of very
porn. I was
porn.
Imagining someone bending over and finding a little Easter egg in the grass.
Right, like, that was very...
Found a little red one.
Yeah, I like that. Are there Easter eggs in Game of Thrones?
Oh, wait, that was Game of Thrones.
Well, it could be either. I don't know. This
so it's
the
Game
thing.
Of Thrones or porn?
Yes.
I see. it's definitely Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I think so. Let's have it one more time. There's a chicken in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has to be Game of Thrones. Yes, we are saying that this is not porn and this is indeed Game of Thrones. And the answer is... No answers coming up.
But wait, if I'm wrong, but is there not parts of Game of Thrones that could be considered porn?
Well, I think it is very... Yeah, I think there are some moments where it gets
That's
very...
That's the point of the game. Okay, sorry. I'm a little bit slow.
We did indeed get this correct. This is not porn. This is
fantastic.
Tyrion and Ross. People are going to shout at me if I pronounce these characters' names wrong.
What are they doing?
Tyrion and Ross, who is a prostitute apparently, are laughing just before Jaime Lannister bursts in the door. No idea who any of those people are.
Good on them.
But good for them.
Having
we got that
laugh.
One right. Well done. All right, let's do our next one.
Get up off your knees.
That sounds like one of my friends. Who isn't a porn star. She has like an Irish accent, doesn't she? Is that Irish?
I'm terrible with
accents.
Let's go again.
Let's go again.
Get up off your knees.
Oh, yeah, up.
Oh, is that Irish? No? Yes?
Get up.
Scottish? It sounds like a bit of an accent. I don't know.
Yeah, one more time.
Get up off your knees.
You know what gives it away? I still think this is Game of Thrones. It's that low-lying kind of cello,
yeah.
Industrial kind of.
I think
soundtrack.
So as well. It sounds like really like
I don't
good
think that's
quality.
Hit porn yet.
No, I also think this is Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So we're saying not porn.
Not porn.
We are saying not porn. This is indeed porn.
Oh.
This is taken from a Game of Thrones parody video. So we've been tricked. We've been swindled. And Cersei and Margaery play a pussy licking game, apparently. So good for them.
Good for them.
Hope they had a nice time with that. And well done on the quality of the music in that porno. I'm pretty impressed with that.
Classy.
Let's do our next one. Wow. I feel like somebody's being tortured. I think this Game of Thrones, somebody's
be
being tortured, fighting.
Herding pigs.
herding pigs. I mean, it could indeed be herding. Can you hear any pigs? Listen carefully for pigs. Oh, I do hear a scuffling.
Yeah.
There could be pigs.
Yeah, or is a brawl or something.
Something like that. But I'm leaning towards Game of Thrones.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, final answer. We are saying not porn. This is not porn. This is Ross gets fucked doggy style in yet another Game of Thrones sex scene. So it sounds like porn, but it,
right.
But apparently this, got is, it. This just, is not just porn. Real,
you've got to really be good.
I think so. Mm. I think this is a particularly hard week.
Yes.
You've not come
Pardon
in on an
pun.
Easy one.
No.
All right, let's do the next one.
Okay. But may I ask you a couple of questions first?
Definitely porn.
Yeah, I think porn as well. This is like a humiliation,
yeah.
Dominatrix kind of. And you're right, bad plot as well.
Yeah, bad plot. It's the pizza delivery driver who's about to get absolutely... Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. We are saying that this is porn.
Yeah.
And the answer is porn. This is taken from the 90-minute parody Game of Bones. And this is from a scene called Winter is Coming.
But
spelt the other way around. Very clever. Very. It's a lot of Game of Thrones themed porn. I'm impressed.
Being very, very tested.
All right, Alec, we're doing quite well. I think we're 3 out of 4. I think
that's pretty good.
Well, it's pretty good. Let's see if we can get the last one.
It's your grace. It's your grace.
This could easily go either way.
Mm.
This is a tricky one.
Mm. What's your gut telling
my
you?
My gut says it's not porn. Then it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
that's where my gut is going. But,
it sounds too good to be porn.
It does, but then that other one did as
it
well.
It did.
And it was porn.
And it was.
You know, some of these pornos have high production value these days. What's your gut saying?
One more time.
It's your grace.
There's definitely some very sensual breathing going on.
Yeah. Use your women's intuition. Mm. Draw from your cycle.
Look, I think it's Game of Thrones.
I think so too. Yeah,
I think I might even recognise the accent.
Do you know the characters?
No.
I don't know the characters.
Is this the one with blonde hair, the long blonde hair?
It's your grace.
Who had the brain tumour?
We're saying...
I saw it on the cover of a magazine. I don't know anything.
We're saying that this is not porn. We're saying this is the one with long blonde hair who has a brain tumour.
Who did. She's
who
recovered
did.
Now,
she's
thank
recovered.
Goodness.
She's yeah. recovered. Final answer. This is not porn. This is a lesbian scene where Jeffrey watches the pair and puts in requests on what he wants them to do. But it's not the woman with the blonde hair and the brain tumour.
Look, you can't get it all right. You know?
We still got 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I'm pretty impressed with that. We are going to be reacting to our lovely sex... get it right, Callum. We're going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of Drugs and the Internet by Lauv.
Another life, another story. She walked out, said I was boring. About 3 a.m. is when I called my friend. We hit the bar, sent myself flying. Shit, I said I'm never trying till the bitter end. But every now and then I wonder what it feels like to be more than I am. Trading all my friends for drugs in the internet. Oh shit, am I winning it? Look quick. See you when you get mom's back home with a drink and a cigarette. Trading all my friends for drugs in the internet. Oh shit, am I a winner yet? Look quick, hasn't hit him yet. Mom's back home with a drink and a cigarette. I don't wanna base my actions on reactions, all the things they say. And I don't wanna hit delete and all the parts of me that they might hate. So now I'm laying in my bed, and I can't get out my head. It's all because I traded all my friends for drugs in the internet. Oh shit,
Am I a winner yet? Look quick. Is he a winner yet? Mom's back home with a drink and a cigarette. Trading all my friends for drugs and the internet. Oh shit. Am I a winner yet? Look quick. Hasn't hit him yet. Mom's back home with a drink and a cigarette.
Lucy, are you ready for a couple of sex confessions?
So ready.
Thank you so much to everyone who's sent these in. Would you like to read one, Lucy? You can pick either of the ones that are on the screen.
All right, I'll read the very first one.
Okay.
I'm a gay guy and I'm very skinny. I've always worn baggy clothes to make me look slightly bigger than I am. Now the weather is getting hotter, I really need to take off a few layers, but I'm really nervous because I'm so skinny and I don't want people to stare at me. Any advice on what I can wear to feel confident?
Oh, this is a really interesting one. I mean, I don't want to give advice on them what they should wear. I want to talk more about like taking ownership of their body.
Mm.
I think in the gay community, there's often this like, it's like you either need to be like super skinny and that and be fetishized in that way, or you need to be like super big and masculine and, mm. and muscly. And I feel like people who fall into one of those tribes, as it were, they always want to be the opposite.
Mm.
You know, me personally, like I love a skinny guy and I think that's beautiful. I think all bodies are beautiful. So I get that, you know, you feel insecure about your body and you might want to cover it up. But like, I don't want you to, you know, I don't want to give you advice on how to cover it up and stuff because I don't want you to. I want you to love your body as it is. Mm. But I also understand that insecurity. You know, I feel it myself sometimes. Mm. I feel like it's a massive problem in the gay community, particularly. I mean, you, as a woman, you know, you must feel this pressure as well to...
Well, I think when you really consider why we're all feeling insecure, it's because we've just been sold this bullcrap that you have to look a certain way and be a certain way. And generally, you have to buy something to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's this economy of insecurity that is just, you know, it's like we're all feeding on, excuse me, on this crap, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like... On Instagram, I follow a lot of body positive sort of pages and, you know, the first time I saw someone posting her stretch marks or her cellulite, I sort of thought, oh, yeah, that's good for her, I guess. I don't know that I could do that. But after like a year of looking at this stuff and seeing it and digesting it, now I believe it.
Yeah.
It's actually worked.
Yeah, which is lovely.
Which is lovely because it's that whole idea of you can't be what you can't see. So I guess for him, I would wonder maybe... You know, I don't know if he has other people in his life that are maybe in a similar sort of situation and maybe, I don't know, speaking to them about what makes them feel confident. And just, yeah, I don't know, there's so many things you can do for self-love, even just really looking at himself in the mirror and seeing what is beautiful and not looking away until he finds something and then just keeping that inside of him and dialing it up to 11 and imagining that he... walks out of his house wearing whatever the fuck he wants and it is beaming out of him and just that is all that matters.
I love that. I love that so much. As well, like what you were saying like about like who you follow on Instagram and stuff, I think that's an important thing. Because,
your diet.
Like,
digital diet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You need to make it. If you're scrolling through and seeing all these like super ripped muscular guys, that's not good for your mental health. So maybe tailor
it. And you know, it's like really... You know, you do whatever you want and it's good to be healthy and fit and strong and all of that sort of stuff. But I think when it's one part of you,
yeah,
you know, and it's one part of who you are. There, you have your intelligence, you have your your social connections and your spirituality and all of these aspects of who you are. And I think when you get so worried that this part is so important and it's more important at the behest of everything else, then it can make you feel even worse, because it's actually taking time and energy away from the bigger parts of who you are. It's just one part of who you are. And the idea that, you know, I don't know, like putting on layers is almost like this sort of protection thing that, you know, it's like him feeling vulnerable, that he's got to put on all these layers to protect himself. And I wonder if there's something, I don't know.
I feel like an internal look and a chat and a conversation with yourself and other people, I think, would be really beneficial for him.
Absolutely. And, you know, people say, oh, yeah, self-talk and tell yourself you love yourself. But it's like, it's not just something you can say once. You kind of, if you're really working on something, you have to absolutely just tell yourself, you know, 200 times a day until you really, you know.
And it is a process. Nobody just instantly.
And go and buy some amazing clothes. Go and
treat yourself.
Get whatever the hell is going to make you feel absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what your body is, and just wear that. Make that your uniform, you know.
Absolutely. That's some incredible advice there. I would follow your advice. That is actually all we have time for. I wish we could do some more confessions. We'll save the ones that we didn't get to today and do them another week. Lucy, this is your opportunity. This is your moment to shine. Tell us all why we should all come and see your show. I know we've talked about it a lot already, but give me the spiel.
Look,
hit me.
You are going to have around 450 menstrual cycles in your life, and you can use them.
Yeah.
You might as well. And, you know, it's not just something you need to put up with. It's not something that you need to tolerate. It's actually, it can be like your best friend, and it can be a real window into understanding who you are. And it's not just for women and people with periods to know this stuff. It's really useful because you either have a period or you sure as hell know someone who does, and it's going to give you an insight into what it means and what it looks like to live with a cycle and actually really care about somebody. And I should mention, which I haven't at all, my beautiful dear husband, who is back in Australia eating Uber Eats and anyway, he'll be here with me doing the show. And
amazing.
So I tell stories and sing. It's half songs, half stories. And there's a lot of interactive elements. I have capes and things that I give to the audience members. And Richard, my beautiful husband, he illustrates the whole show. So he's an artist and he draws. So he's really funny, and he kind of just elucidates the whole thing in cartoon form. So
he's the guy in the TED Talk.
That's right.
I just thought he was like someone you hired.
No. Oh my God.
Amazing.
Don't tell him you said that. He is the period doodler.
Amazing. I love that. That's the best job title ever. I'm calling it a job title.
He is such a champion for the menstrual cycle, which, you know, getting back to what you said at the very beginning, is it men's fault that periods get so shit canned and whatever, let's forget about that. I think it's really time to open the invitation to men to be involved, because we can't change this conversation on our own. We really need everybody to just get on board and understand that it's a really normal, natural, healthy, amazing thing.
Absolutely.
So, amen.
And it is a show for everyone. Mm. And there are dates from the 8th of May running all the way up to the 18th. So everyone should go and get a ticket.
They
Lucy,
sure should. Thank you so much for having me,
Callum.
No, you're amazing. I would now like to pronounce you an absolute period preacher. So may you...
Nailed it.
Just live long and prosper. And I think you're absolutely fantastic, and your listeners are very lucky.
Thank you so much. I don't think I can top that. Lucy, I'm going to play your wonderful self out with a little bit of Wishy Washy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Why you acting so wishy washy? Empty in my pockets like a washing machine. Stop telling yourself to run back to me, because we both know this a nightmare, not a dream. You act a real wishy washy, cleaning out my pockets like a washing machine. Stop telling yourself to run back to me, because we both know this a nightmare, not a dream. I know you gon' disappear, 'cause even though you say you're only insincere, all this time you probably didn't want me. Like Lauren and the Fugees, you be killing softly. So many times you tell me that you're really sorry, but all I really hear is that you're wishy-washy.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.